Loving others as Christ has loved us sounds simple enough when the person you're around is kind-hearted, easy to be around. But what about the person who rubs you the wrong way or has done you wrong? Sound Doctrine is up next.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless love, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Maybe you've noticed not all Christians are easy to be around. At times, we may find them difficult to love. Well, today's Sound Doctrine will help us love even the unlovely. We're about to see our need to love one another, even when it's a challenge. Keeping an eye on the cross and Jesus sure helps. Pastor Jeff Johnson brings 1 Peter 1, verses 21 through 25 before us and encourages us to have a sincere love for the brethren.
Going to finish 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning. So we're moving right along. 1 Peter. He's getting us really into some very deep theological words. He's getting us deep into doctrine. In fact, let me use this as a springboard this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed, okay? He breathes it upon us. It's profitable for doctrine, and this is what Peter's pouring out on us, giving us doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness to get us going in the right way, that the man or woman of God may be perfect or complete, having everything they need, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I like that, because that's exactly what Peter is seeking to do as he's writing this epistle, sharing with us just what God has shown him. Just like Paul said, what the Lord has given me, I give back to you. And he actually shared communion and brought us through communion. Now, Peter's showing us a way to be closer to him than ever before. So it's interesting as we look at this, we're talking about a picture here that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that liveth and believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? It's important we believe it. Because when we believe it, we receive it, and we enter into what he said when he said, there's only one way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to get to heaven but through me. It's not through Buddha. It's not through confusion. It's not through any other way. It's Jesus is the way. And Peter's been just sharing with us how we've been redeemed, how we've been bought with a price, the precious blood of the Lamb. And it's exciting because we have a new life experience by way of cleansing. He's cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Before, we were children of wrath. We were children of disobedience, but we received him. But God, you know, showed himself strong towards us in that he cleansed us from all that past. We wiped the slate clean. We have a new life in Christ. That's what's so great about it. It's like the old is gone, man, buried with him in the crucifixion and then resurrected in the resurrection of the Lord. It's a new life. He's building new lives constantly. And it's going on continually. So commitment. Look at verse 22 of 1 Peter chapter 1. That's where we left off. He goes and he says, seeing you have purified your souls. Our souls have been purified. They've been cleansed. How? By or in obedience. By obeying the truth. Jesus said, I'm the truth. And if you believe that he is the truth, you're going to be purified. Your soul is going to be purified. Notice how it happens. Through the Spirit. It's right there. The Spirit of God does it. Unless you are drawn by God's Spirit, you can't come into God's kingdom. That's why Jesus had to go. Because he says, unless I go, I can't send my Spirit. Now, the Spirit's going to do a work in the last days, especially drawing men and women to the Lord. And he's doing that. It's through the Spirit drawing. You know, we can't draw anybody. We can ask them to come to church, and we can say, hey, if you come, I'll buy you breakfast, right? And that's a good deal. But if you come, and the Spirit is working, and he's going to be working, he's going to seek to draw you to make a decision for Christ. Why? Because that's the most important decision you will ever make in your entire life. Marriage is number two. Get that clear. First, it's Jesus. It's always been and always will be. It's through the Spirit. Unto unafeigned. Unafeigned is sincere. Here, unto the unafamed, sincere love of the brethren. That all of a sudden you got a new family and you have a love for that family. And it's a love that is beyond this world. You can all of a sudden be, you know, going, standing in line to get your ticket for an airplane, and then you walk up to the girl that's, you know, doing your thing, and you look at her in the face and she's just smiling at you, and you go, are you a Christian? They go, yeah, I knew it, you know. It's like the family. We know each other. Without knowing somebody, you recognize, you sense it. And so he's brought us together with this love for the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart. A pure heart is one that's been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. A pure heart is a heart that's been forgiven. And you're walking humbly with your God. Notice it says a pure heart what? What is the next word? Fervently. Fervently. Ooh, that's pretty heavy. That's really laying it on. And this comes by, in John chapter 15, in verse 3. John 15, 3 says, now you are clean through the word. Notice the word cleanses. Which I have spoken unto you. So Jesus speaks forth his word. We're reading it. And he's cleansing us, causing us to be renewed. And it's through the foolishness of preaching. You know, the preaching of the cross that people are saved. I mean, do many look at the preaching of the cross as foolishness? But unto us, we know it's the power of God unto what? Salvation. Through sharing the good news, what Jesus did for us. What did he do? He came to this world. He died. He was buried. And he resurrected. I mean, that's the good news. No one ever did that for anybody. Not any of the great gurus or whoever anybody looks to. Jesus is the only one. And because he did that, we have incredible victory. The blood has been applied to our lives. Remember last week we talked about the blood in Exodus, about being on the doorposts, and we talked about the Lamb. He's the Lamb. And the blood was applied, and hopefully the blood is applied to your life individually. And then to your family, because as soon as you get saved, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and guess who else is going to get saved? Your family. Because you're living there now. So you brought Jesus into the house. Thanks a lot. Now Jesus is living here in your heart. And now you're busting us, man, and we don't know how to take this. This is weird. This is strange. It's like there's a stranger in the house. They got you too? Oh, no. You know, that you've been transformed. You've received Christ, and now there's something new about you. Of course. It's Jesus. And it's a lasting effect. And there's so many here this morning that can tell you how lasting it is. Through thick or thin, through trial and tribulation, no matter what you go through, He's number one. He's there. He's not only my crutch, He's my stretcher. And when I need somewhere to hit, you know, just hit the ground and go back, He's there. You know, you can count on Him, you know? Well, you can't count on anything in this world, but you can count on Jesus. So the blood has been applied. God's promise is that I will not be destroyed. I will not be destroyed. This world cannot destroy me, no matter what it does. I will live on. I will live on. And yet, many, they begin to gripe and they begin to murmur. And we know the children of Israel, once they were let go, what happened? They got trapped down by the Red Sea. Two mountains, a sea, and Pharaoh's coming down to kill them. I mean, that's a trap. And they started to yell out, Moses, you brought us down here to die. Oh, thanks a lot. Now they're just going to kill us down here in the desert. This is great. We could have been left back over there eating leeks and onions, you know. And they started to think that was great. Now they're trapped in this situation. They weren't trapped. God made a way where there seems to be no way. And all the Old Testament stories continue to encourage us and help us to understand the power of God, the power of His Word, you know, just how He moves and what He does. And but yet, if you lose your testimony, and that happens, guys, we freak out, we lose our peace, we lose our joy, we start to, you know, drift away from the fellowship. Don't forsake yourselves gathering together. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Don't do that, as the manner of some are, even this day. They're drifting. They've forsaken. But even more so, come into the house of the Lord. Come, go to Bible study. Come to fellowship. Go to these men's conferences. Do things for the Lord. And you're going to find yourself looking up always. Always ready to give a word why you believe. Always strengthened by what? The word of the Lord. And so we need to continue to do that. And your assurance of salvation will be growing and you'll be solid on the rock. You see, we got a foundation that's Jesus Christ. And it's solid. But faith comes by hearing, and that of what? The word of God. Trials will come. And trials are there to reveal our situation, and the Spirit is there to convict us that we need to stand in His power and in His might, that we're trying to do it ourselves. We're trying to get out of this situation. We're trying to finagle or whatever that is, trying to get around it. No, I can figure this out. I'm captain of my ship, master of my destiny. No, you're not. Haven't you handed it over to the Lord? He is in total control. And if He's in total control, that means you're going to get a uniform every day. You're going to get three squares. You're going to be fed. You're going to be taken care of because He takes care of His soldiers. And we're soldiers. And I'll tell you something about soldiers. They just got one thing in mind, and that is to fight the good fight and to learn their weapons. And to know how to put their armor on correctly and use it against the enemy. And that's what Christianity is all about. You got a single eye on the Lord. He's our commander. And He's given us orders. And we just got to go for it. These are days to not mess around. Because it's serious. We're talking about souls in the balance. Your soul being won. And the enemy's after you like never before. We are in the end times, the last days. For those of you that have just come to the Lord, be aware of this. You need to get your roots in. You need to get grounded, or you're going to find yourself drifting, and it gets tough. So there's this cleansing that's available. Oh, 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. For you guys taking notes, put that one down. 1 John 1, verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we're liars and we do not the truth. So you say you know God, and yet you're in darkness. You're still doing the same old stuff you did, you know, before the Lord. But you say, I know God. You're lying. You're lying to yourself. And if you tell others that you believe in God, you're lying to them, because you don't, because there's no change. You know, there's got to be a change. There's got to be a testimony. Something has to, you're not doing the truth. And then in verse 7 it says, and if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So this cleansing comes, and along with that comes commitment. See, as we're cleansed, we just lay more of it down. And that's in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. 1 John 3, 2. He says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, the children of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So we know we're being conformed into his image, and we are going to see him. We have that hope soon and very soon. And then it says in verse 3, and every man that has this hope in him is purifying himself even as he is pure. And we know what that hope is. It's that hope of the coming of the Lord. Every day that we live, we're yearning for the coming of the Lord. We're saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. We want to go home to be with you. But if not, we're going to occupy. And that's an army word, isn't it? Let's occupy this land. Let's occupy this place. Let's just occupy, do the best we can to set up a strong witness in this world, especially in these days. We need it ever so much. So that new life, that new relationship with others. Over in 1 Thessalonians now, chapter 4, and verse 9 and 10. He says, but as touching brotherly love, let's talk about brotherly love a little bit more here. You need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. That's one of the main things about being a Christian, is you have love to one another. They'll know you're my disciples by your love to one another, not by your gossiping, not by your tearing down your brother or your sister, not by your, you know, stabbing somebody in the back, and not by, you know, complaining about this, complaining about that, or this person and that person. No, they'll know you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. That's just what God shows us. Because he goes on to say, and indeed, you do toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. You're giving my love. But, and when it says but, there's a problem. Something's going wrong here. He says, we beseech you, we beg of you, brethren, that you increase more and more. In other words, increase your love. It's not getting across. You need to get more into it. You need to figure out ways to how do you really love one another, so they know that you're his disciple. I mean, that is a convicting word. A fervent, intense love for your new family. Over in Colossians in chapter 3, verse 13, he says, you need to forbear one another, forgive one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Be like your master. He forgave you, so why don't you then now turn around and forgive them? That makes sense, doesn't it? He's forgiven us a lot. So does that mean I have to love a lot? Yes. You have to love a lot and forgive a lot and forbear a lot. It's good. It's healthy. It's going to bless the body all as one. We're going to become more of a lighthouse, more of that which is seen by so many. People will say, oh, you go to Calvary Downey? That's where they really love you over there. They say hi to you. They give you a hug. They give you a handshake. They care about you over there. Where do they get this stuff? Jesus. And we're reaching out. And above all, verse 14, he says, put on these things with charity, with love, which is the bond of perfection. And he continues. But listen, this is a love that is real. This is a love that John talks so much about. John was the one that was leaning on the Lord's breast. He just at the, because they all laid one way, and he was always laying on Jesus. And he came out with all this. I don't know. He was just so in love with the Lord, and there was a relationship there that was special. John always writes about it. He says, and the one that Jesus loved was me. You know, he kind of said that a lot. But that's okay. Jesus loves me. This I know, because the Bible tells me so. And he loves us all. But look at this. This is out of 1 John in chapter 4, verse 7, if you're taking notes. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Okay, that's important. If you're loving others, then you must know God. Because then the next verse, verse 8, says, he that loves not does not know God, for God is love. And so if you hold things against people, you are angry at others, that's not God. And you need to get to know God better, because that's not revealing God's heart. See, he changes us to be able to love the unlovely. Oh, but you don't know my husband. Or you don't know my wife. Doesn't matter. It's about love. And love moves mountains, man.
We'll break away from the message for just a moment or two. Pastor Jeff Johnson will be back, and this is Sound Doctrine. We're making our way through 1 Peter. Well, if you enjoyed today's message, you can hear it again online at sounddoctrineradio.org. You can also call and request a CD copy for a suggested donation of $5. The phone number is 800-353-7553. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. Each day on the program, we like to recommend books that we believe are helpful to your walk with the Lord. If you haven't read Living a Prayerful Life by Andrew Murray, well, you're really missing out. It's written to encourage believers and show you the abundant life in Christ that's available to those who pray fervently. This devotional classic includes some great examples like the Apostle Paul, George Mueller, Hudson Taylor, and more. I know you'll be encouraged, so request Living a Prayerful Life today for just $8 at sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. And anything given above that amount will help us continue on this radio station and others like it. Thank you for your generous support. You know, when we hear of men and women that are growing and benefiting through sound doctrine contained in God's Word, we're reminded of people like you who stand with us to help make this possible. To donate, visit sounddoctrineradio.org. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff.
Verse 20 of 1 John 4, he says this, if a man says that I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? So If you can't love your brother, you can't love God. You haven't even seen him. So that says volumes. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also, no matter what he's done. You forgive. You forget. You let it go, let it go, let it go. Remember that? It's coming back. But that's a good thing to say, because we don't let it go. We like to hold on.
We'll go a little further in our study of 1 Peter next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. It's daily radio ministry presented by Calvary Chapel Downey. So far.